The theme was Gold Rush. I struggled. Then I found my vein, my connection. The reason why I tell the stories I do. You see, I just returned from a long weekend with my two younger sisters to begin the relocation of my 83-year-old father. He is a retired lawyer who at one point was the director of Health and Human Services Department in New Mexico. He was known in Santa Fe for his lethal argumentative skill, his biting sense of humor, and being the father of five girls. He has suffered from severe depression for most of his life. He now resides in a KOA campground in Albuquerque and is a recluse. At the beginning of the weekend, as we made our way from the KOA with him in the back seat struggling with his seatbelt, I felt pity for my father.
Well, Jennifer, you may be good at the dramatics, but you are a horrible manager.
In one moment, I had seen his watery gray eyes tearing up in his desperation to understand the seatbelt mechanism turn steely as he cast his rod and buried his hook into my scarred psyche. My rebuttal? Well, I've been paid quite well as a manager, and I'll show you what I can get done in 3 days.
We'll see.
I was back in familiar territory again. It was his automatic mechanism in dealing with his embarrassment or failure or disappointment by striking out at one of us. This was a familiar feeling, a memory, an explanation, a reason. My mother spent most of her time explaining our father to us.
He had a tough childhood. He had a hard day. He's under a lot of pressure. He can't get his seatbelt fastened.
My sister and I just looked at each other, knowing that we were still going to be sitting at that four-way intersection of pity, anger, need, and hope. It was going to be a long weekend. We made the trek to a storage unit that held his life and hadn't been opened in 10 years. It was over 100 degrees. The dust in New Mexico is fine and has a reddish-brown hue, and it finds its way into every crack and crevice. It is the same dust that was in the hills behind our house, where we would look for arrowheads and mica and fool's gold to keep on shelves and forts we built above the arroyo. I would make believe I was Laura Ingalls Wilder, and my father was Pa. A man with twinkling eyes who played the fiddle and always had a story. A man who loved his daughters. My father just sat on a folding chair while we sifted through the treasures of his life. Fishing rods, shotguns, backpacks, camping gear, cross-country skis, climbing gear, tackle boxes, dog beds. Activities not shared with his daughters. His passions. We found a photo of him shaking LBJ's hand. We gathered around, excited. How had we never seen this? We carried it gently to him, asking him loudly, "When did this happen?" He shrugged and offered no explanation, no story. We put it in the one box that held the slides of our childhood. I found two bookends that had John Jasper, 1945, carved on the bottom. He pointed and said,
"I made those in woodshop in junior high."
It was a rare nugget of information. I put them aside, knowing I would take them home. You see, we know very little about my father, so these rare facts always come as a surprise.
Oh, yes, he was on the fast track to be governor.
Really? But more than the dusty remnants of his past, my own quest for hidden treasure was my need to understand where I fit in his world. I looked for myself in boxes and boxes of his life and came up empty. I was nowhere. Except for the slides, my sisters and I were not there. No memories except for exclusion. Over the entire weekend, I sat with my pan of rocks, sand and dust sifting through, hoping to find something shiny, a compliment that carried value, a memory that included me. Then we were driving and saw a camper pulled off the side of the road with a flat tire, the driver and family sitting in the hot sun. My sisters and I turned towards our father, who saw them and stated,
"I don't envy them."
And we all started laughing. And there we were. We did exist. When I was 10 years old, between my father's state job and him beginning private practice, we piled into our golden white Suburban, hitched up our Jayco pop-up camper, and began our own cross-country journey from Santa Fe to Disneyland. The long way. We traveled east through 26 states, over 12,000 miles, and parts of Canada. Oh, and we brought a friend.
I'm homesick.
Because five girls just isn't enough. It would be the only family vacation we would ever take, other than weekend camping trips during the summers. My father calculated that at the end of the trip, we had spent a solid 2 weeks, 24/7, putting up and breaking down camp. He had clocked it under 12 minutes. My job was unhitching the Jayco, placing the bricks behind the wheels, and pulling the elastic bungees under the wings. Around halfway through that trip, we had a flat tire on the Jayco in one of the Dakotas. Does it really matter which one?
Damn it! Jesus H. Christ! Stay the car!
My father's curses echoed and bounced off the flat rocks in the noonday sun, our panting beagle, Ralph, dogging his heels, and all of us thinking, I don't envy him. My pan is overflowing with memories of our summer camping trips, none as long as the trip. I remember my sisters and I wading into ice-cold streams with minnows kissing our toes. Songs with my father's strong tenor being sung around the campfire under a blanket of New Mexico stars. The smell of eggs cooking in a cast iron on the Coleman stove. Melted tips of sneakers from getting too close to the fire. And fighting over that last Cragmont root beer. Watching his straight back and assertive stride as he and the dogs walked away from our campsite with his fishing gear every morning without us, to return with fresh rainbow trout he'd fry up for dinner. Fishing rods, camping gear, shotguns. We finished going through his storage unit, his life reduced to a quarter of the space. We fished for compliments after our hard day of work for him, and he reminded us that he had loaded that whole unit by himself. We went to dinner and drank much-needed beer, rinsing the dirt from our lips, ate green chili cheeseburgers, and asked questions. He told us about the photo with LBJ. It was taken when he worked for Health and Human Services. Oh. He was ahead of his time.
On the fast track.
It's risky to go looking for something that is rumored to exist. I have come up empty-handed before. But I'm betting there's more. Oh, so much more to be unearthed. I will return to New Mexico this September to physically move him to my sister's in California. But from this last trip, I gathered every golden memory to take home with me, held between two wooden bookends.
Jennifer Jasper, everybody.
This segment of Sandbox Radio appears in the episode Gold Rush, recorded live at Town Hall Seattle on August 29th, 2016. It was engineered by Luke Kerwald, recorded by Christopher Stewart, and mixed by Dave Pascal. Find full episodes in iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcatcher, and at sandboxradio.org. Thanks for listening.